Chapter 4, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I have one basic rule of preaching. Some of you won't believe me, but it's true. I don't preach to any individual. So I don't go home on Monday and think, that Duncan, I need to have a 14-week series on Duncan's sins. I rarely even respond if someone asks me, will you speak on a subject? I decided to preach on this about 3 weeks ago or so, because I'm going to start Matthew sometime probably in May, probably. And yesterday I spent 30 minutes talking to somebody about this sermon and telling them how much they needed it, and guess what? They're not here. I'm going to speak on the nicest thing you'll ever hear. But if you do not get it, everything in your Christian life will come apart. Tom said something. He's partially correct, only partially. We don't have any missing generations in this room if you actually look. But we do have people from 20 to 30 in that area that have far too many have fallen by the wayside. If that's what he means, we agree. There's lots of reasons why people fall by the wayside. Some of them never get it in their home. They have lies in their home. You know, if your home is a lie, you can't expect anything good to come out of it. And that can be on either side. It can be both parents are liars, one parent's a liar, because kids usually gravitate to the lowest common denominator. Usually. In my family's case, that's different. We all followed Mom. But my dad never, ever, 1 minute, opposed Christianity. And number two, my dad never said he was a Christian. No lying. You got the difference. The worst thing for children are liars. Now, this is going to be positive. It's going to take me a while to get there, but we're going to talk about exercise this morning. Let's stand. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, I'm assuming everybody knows Timothy was a pastor, so Paul is writing to how many people in 1 Timothy primarily? To Timothy. And Timothy was a pastor. So some things in 1 Timothy won't have direct application to you. They'll have indirect. Everything this morning is going to more or less have direct application, because we're going to focus on verse 7 and 8. We'll read verse 6 also. If thou put the brethren, meaning the people of God, men and women, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now, in some areas of the country, they still call who I am a minister. I don't like the term, because the Greek word is the term diakonos. A pastor is a deacon also. I just serve in a different function. Actually, the greatest of all? Who's the greatest of all? Got three people. Who's the greatest of all? The servant. We all just serve in different functions. Don't think you get elevated to some position on your job or in the military where you no longer serve. You've missed the whole point. General Mattis, that retired, is the guy that could tell you that. A great servant, yet a pretty powerful fellow. So really, this should be translated in modern English this. If thou put the brethren in remembrance, or the people of God in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Nourished up. I love that term. Nourished up. Nourishing food. In the words of faith and of good doctrine. Whereunto thou hast attained. You've already been going following this path. Just keep on following that path. Verse 7. But refuse, profane, and old wives' fables, ESV mistranslates this intentionally because that's offensive to say something about old women. So before you have a stroke, was Paul a hater of old people? Well, chapter 5 from verse 3 to verse 16 tells the church and the families how they're to take care of their widows. He's using language like we use. You know, the scuttlebutt gossip. You know, he's just using common stock language. You need to avoid some stuff. Hey, you need to avoid some stuff. Things that are profane and the chismus, gossip, nonsense that preoccupies people's minds. You ought not to be exercised by that. We'll come back to that. But what ought to be happening to us? He says, but refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise gymnazo, gymnasium, we get it from the verb gymnazo, exercise thyself, meaning you. No one else can do it for you. Thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 8 takes us further. For bodily exercise, gymnasia, the noun, profiteth little. We'll come back what that means. It has some profit. It has some good in it, some benefit. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Why? Having promise of the life that now is, it's going to revolutionize your life right now, but it also has promise of the life which is to come. So why is bodily exercise good and spiritual exercise better? One only has application now. One has application forever. This morning, I'm going to talk about a good servant of Jesus Christ, but we're going to look at these three verses. We're going to focus on the concept of spiritual exercise. And I want to share to every person, Tom said it, I didn't say it. I've been in churches where forget missing 20s to 30s. You're missing everybody from 20 to 60. There is no church. There are reasons for that, but here's the solution. We got some people in this room who are either new Christians or you're maybe not even yet a Christian. Let's get to the heart of the matter today. Can we do that? Father, thank you for this text. May you bless, may you help, may you encourage. Keep me to say those things that need to be said to help and encourage everyone. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. When a pastor is new in a church, one of the first things you do is you try to get to know people. When I went to St. Louis, Jenny and I did, and John was three, four. Was he four? And Amy was one. That's right. Amy learned how to walk there. Got me in trouble with a woman there. Because Amy had the audacity at 1 year old to walk from her seat up to the pulpit to hug me. And that old woman thought that was of the devil. But when I first got there, you want to get to know people. There was a family my first year that I never saw in church. But after a period of time, the family called me, or we contacted somehow, and they said, why don't you come over for supper? So I don't know what we did with the kids, but I don't think the kids went. They might have. Jenny and I went. The couple were old. They were in their 50s. I was 31, so they were ancient. The couple was really old. They had children that were already married. Her mother was a faithful, godly member of our church. So they invited us over. We got there. I think they offered us tea, if I remember correctly. So we each had a glass of tea. And after a while, Jenny and the wife talked, and I went outside with the husband. I didn't know the people. I kind of knew about them. You pick up little pieces, and I'm talking. I knew this man owned two construction companies. He owned a building company where they built homes, and he owned a concrete company, and that's where he made most of his money, pouring concrete. He did both. We went outside, and the guy was a good smoker. Now, this was in the 80s. Smoking hadn't been banned every place on earth yet. And he was one of those four-pack-a-day guys. Have you met them? Just passing by them, you smell like smoke. We talked. He told me about his life. There was, by the way, he said, of course, everybody's saved. This is what he told me. As we stood outside waiting for supper, we're talking, he said, I work all day, I work hard. When I come home, after I eat, I go outside and I pitch horseshoes. Ade, do you know what that is? We have them out here. You know, there's a stake and there's a horseshoes and you pitch them. He said, I pitch horseshoes 4 to 5 hours a night. On the weekend, I have a cabin. He says, I need to relax. What's the 4 or 5 hours a night playing horseshoes? On the weekend, we go boating, fishing, drinking, smoking. And that was his life. Now, he's long dead. Fact is, I'm sure she's dead, the mother's dead, they're all dead. And I always wonder, if the guy's saved, you go to heaven, this is what you tell the Lord. I was pretty good at horseshoes. This text tells us what a good servant of Jesus Christ is all about. I'm going to speak on that subject. If you look back with me, look back at verse 6, please. Now remember, some of this is specifically to a pastor, but only an element. Obviously, the first part is more geared to the pastor. If thou put the brethren in remembrance, or if you put these truths before the people of God, thou shalt be a good servant, minister, but servant, a deacon of Jesus Christ. Nourished up. You know what nourishing means? You're fed, you know, you've eaten, you've nourished yourself, you have strength, you have vim, you have vigor, you have energy. How are you nourished up? In the words of faith and good doctrine. Good doctrine tends to produce good servants, whereunto thou hast attained. But then he says, number one, and this is the first thing he says you need to do, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. So number one is this. Some things are bad and must not exercise us. Some things are bad and must not exercise us. It's a good thing sometimes to do this. You know how to do that? Stop talking. Sit with a group of people and listen to what they chatter about. Because whatever they chatter about is what? That's what's important to them. That's what they're thinking about. Yes or no? By the way, you don't chatter about, I'm not going to say who, but in my Bible class, there's a couple girls. I have never seen these programs. I don't have cable. And if I ever see one, please shoot me before I see it. There are programs called Housewives of Certain Cities. My brain, the IQ of my brain just immediately starts draining. I've heard girls talk about this like this is life. Friend, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Why? Some things are bad and must not exercise. They ought not to be the things that exercise my mind, my attention, my thinking. I'm not being negative. It's just like, really? So what did you do last night? I watched The Housewives of Waukegan. I don't know who these people are. I've seen pictures sometimes here and there on the news. And there are people that look like, all of them look like somebody took a huge needle with putty. Bugsy, you know putty that you put around the windows and injected it into their lips. And I'm like, see, you think that's funny. You know what I think? I think I would like to listen to you when you're chattering. Because what you're chattering about is what's important. Here's the thing, folks. It's this simple. Some things are bad. They're not so much evil, they're just dumb. And they ought not to exercise us. They ought not to be the things that we get our life consumed with. Now I'm going to make my political statement and move on. We have spent 2 years and more money than all of us in this room will ever make investigating Trump. And we have found nothing. Before you get mad at me, Republicans did the same thing with Bill Clinton. Here's the worst part. Christians think that's important. And our whole life is consumed with what? Profane and old wives' fables. Paul says, don't get exercised about that. Don't let that consume your life. Move out of that. That won't help you. So now, Paul doesn't tell us what these old wives' fables are. Why doesn't he tell us? Because if I told you what these old wives' fables are, they would change next year. 10 years from now, the things people in this room are by the way, I'm looking at some of you, you don't even know who Ken Starr is. Zach, Ken Starr? That's my point. But that was the center of the universe back in Bill Clinton's time. Everything on earth was a Ken Starr investigation. By the way, this too shall pass away. I remember right over where Sparky seated, there was a woman seated there 20 years ago, came up to me after a service one day. When some woman does this to me, you know what I want to do? There's two things I want to do. I want to run, and I want to say, talk to Pastor Kowak. She was all pious and nervous, and she said, Pastor, I think you need to preach a series on Pokemon. Pokey who? I didn't know who Pokemon was. And then she said, you know, pocket monsters. There are things that ought not to preoccupy your mind. Yes or no? They shouldn't be what you're chattering about. But many people spend their life pitching horseshoes. By the way, Ade, where I grew up, that was a fun thing to do. Do you know why? Because men would do that and talk. This man wasn't doing that with another man to talk. He was doing it by himself. Chattering. Let's look back at the text. We're going to move on because really the third point's the most important, but you cannot get caught up in all of the things that preoccupy people. So do me a favor. Take your phone. Tape your chattering. See what you talk about. Is it the housewives of... You say, I don't like the housewives of Waukegan. I like the housewives of Zion. Okay. Look back at verse 8 again. Verse 8. For bodily exercise does what? According to the King James. This has been the most misused verse in the history of mankind. Now, I want you to hold your hand here and turn to James chapter 4. You're going to have to trust me on this. There's only one other place in the Bible this particular phrase, pros oligon, is used. Only one place, and I'm going to give that one place to you. When the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, what does it mean? You'll be able to figure it out real quick. James 4:14 has the exact two Greek words. James says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow or tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, a mist. How about yesterday? Fog. Were you out yesterday in the morning? Fog. That appeareth for a what? That is the exact same place. Now look back at 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise does what? It's profiteth, it has profit Let's put the whole phrase there, for a little time. How do I know that's the interpretation? Because godliness is profitable for the life that now is and that which is to come. So here's the sermon this morning. First two points. Some things are bad and ought not to exercise us. Number two, physical exercise is good. It is good. Nothing wrong with physical exercise. Actually, it's essential. This week, and I know it was Steve Tupper that did it, I went into K4. Sister Ann left. Now, I can't demonstrate it except like this. I'm somewhat taller than the four-year-olds. So I'm like standing, you know, like I'm up here, and Steve, which I know put his daughter up to it, Vivian walks up to me and she does this. She has to reach way up. She reaches as high as she can, which reaches my belly. And she said, "Pastor, why do you have such a big belly?" Friend, a good servant of Jesus Christ knows something. Physical exercise is good. You say, "Do you physically exercise?" Yes, my problem is not exercise. My problem is I always thought the dryer shrinks your clothes. I found out the refrigerator shrinks your clothes too. I don't have a problem with exercise. My problem is I only have one problem. It starts with a P. It's potatoes. Oh, my goodness. My wife will buy French fries and eat three. I'm immediately offended until she says, "You can have the rest." Okay. That's the reason I look like a potato. Listen, I walked 3.5 miles Friday night. I walked 2 miles last night, and it didn't do one thing. I still look like a potato. I'm thinking I need to start walking 20 miles a day, and I would start to slow down. I'm going to say this because really the sermon is the third part, but I want you to understand there's a structure here. Some things are bad and should not exercise us, should not focus our mind, shouldn't focus our attention. All you have to do is get around people with your coffee. Hey, go to N&T's, excellent restaurant, Saturday morning, by yourself, be quiet, and listen to the chatter. It'll drive you insane. Because you realize that man that, hey, look, that threw horseshoes 5 hours a day, how often did he talk to his children? How often did he pray? His entire life was chatter, profane and old women's fables. Some things are bad and must not exercise us. Physical exercise is good. It's good for a little while. I mean, it helps the body during this life. That's the point. So you don't have a pastor here that doesn't believe in physical exercise. I do exercise, lift weights probably 4 days a week, stretch. By the way, there's only 3 exercises you need to learn. Everything past this is details. There's aerobic exercise, which would include what? Walking, running, swimming, biking, yes? There's some kind of strength training. Ladies, if you don't do some kind of strength training, by the time you're in your 50s, and definitely into your 60s, you'll be able to tell immediately who doesn't do strength training because you will not have a back. And you will start having the problem with osteoporosis because your body was made to lift heavy objects. There is aerobic, there's strength training, and there's flexibility. Do you all know this? There's only 3 kinds of exercise. You say, what about CrossFit? CrossFit is for guys like Dave, my favorite son here. He's still macho, or at least thinks he is. I don't have a lifetime to spend with CrossFit. But aerobic exercise, strength training, there's a reason I'm going here. And some kind of flexibility. Those are really all you need. And that's what you need. You say, what should I do first? I'll just say this and move on. Anything you do is better than anything you don't do. So if all you do is sit on the couch, probably that isn't happening. Number three, look back at 1 Timothy. Some of you think I've wasted my time. Why have I done this? It's in the text. You see, in a Bible preaching church, you actually need to pay attention to the Word of God. Don't jump to your favorite stuff. There are things you and I cannot be exercised about. If your life is chattering, you are exercised about things that don't benefit you or your family. You're all consumed with who said this. We now have social media that dominates young people's lives. And not so young people. Why didn't somebody give me a thumbs up? Physical exercise is good. Look at verse 7, please. But refuse profane. And profane has that idea of being, you know, profanity, yes, worthless, crude, and old wise fables. But what does he tell you to do? And exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness. Some things are bad and must not exercise us. Physical exercise is good, meaning good for now. It's helpful for this life. Spiritual exercise is better. Actually, it's far better. Why? He's going to tell you in verse 8. It's far better than physical exercise. Not that physical exercise is bad. It's good. But it's better because, what does it say in the last part of the verse 8? It's profitable, it's beneficial unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. My friend, the spiritual exercises benefit us not only now, they benefit us for eternity. So the difference between good physical exercise and spiritual exercise, we ought to do both, but spiritual and physical exercise only helps you in this life. Spiritual exercise is beneficial, profitable right now and for eternity. Now, are you ready for this? If you're a new Christian, there are exactly three exercises that you must learn. And I'm going to say this to you. These are not optional. These are not games. These are not tricks. Some of you will not even hear what I'm saying if you were in Sunday school. Because you think you hear what I'm saying because you're hearing with what you already believe. There is only, just like aerobic, weight training, strength training, and flexibility, there's only three exercises as a Christian. There's a relationship with God called prayer. There's a relationship with God's Word called the Bible. And there is a relationship, and by the way, remember for you that were in Sunday school, don't hear what I'm not saying. There's a relationship with God's people. You say, you mean coming to church? I said a relationship with God's people. Let's look at those three exercises, could we? Prayer, which starts with a relationship with God. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 17, please. We'll come back to 1 Timothy. These are the three central, fundamental exercises. The first one begins with this subject of prayer. My friend, prayer is so fundamental to what we do that it's unthinkable not to pray. So may I say this to you? If prayer isn't part of your pretty much daily life, either you're a brand new Christian or you're not yet a Christian. Because I'm not talking about praying in certain forms. I'm not talking about tricks. I'm not talking about you getting your prayers answered. I'm talking to you that which is fundamental. John 17 and verse 2. You find it? This is the Lord's prayer to the Father, his high priestly prayer. He says, as thou, God the Father, hast given him, Jesus, power, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life. You see, what does it mean to be saved? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. My friend, prayer is the first fundamental, essential, absolute element. It's the first exercise. You can never get away from it. And it starts with this. When I get saved, it's not going to heaven when you die. Why would you want to go to heaven when you die? So you don't go to hell? Folks, C.S. Lewis said it 100 years ago nearly. Many people thinking they're going to heaven are not going there. They wouldn't enjoy 1 minute of heaven. Heaven starts the moment you get saved. You now have a relationship with the living God. You now can talk to the Lord. You now can pray. It's the center. Hey, I am so happy these young men came here and helped. But young men, if you don't know Christ, no, I'm not talking about you've been in church. Nothing else matters. What else is significant? See, this is the center. This is the most fundamental exercise. Now, pastors, myself included, could teach many truths in the Bible on prayer. But at its core, it's you having a relationship with God, the triune God. Hebrews, would you turn there? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, the author of Hebrews says this, let us, meaning let us all believers, you know the believers here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10 and verse 19, Hebrews 10 and verse 19, having therefore brethren, sisters are okay too. It's not talking about men. Boldness to enter into the holiest. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the women could come to one section. The men could come to another. No one could go into the holy place except the priest. And into the holiest, the holy of holies, the high priest once a year could go. If you went inside, you would be dead. But because of Christ's shed blood, because of what Christ did for us, we can go into the very presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. My friend, prayer is the essential exercise. Some things are bad and must not exercise us. Physical exercise is good in that what it does in this life. Spiritual exercise is better. Why? Because it helps in this life and in the life to come. And the central exercise is prayer. Friend, I'm not going to talk about how to pray this morning. No Christian needs to be taught how to pray. It's intuitive. Now, you can be instructed about details, yes, and all of us need that. I would say to you, do it as a child with your heavenly Father. Since I picked on Steve earlier, I'll be nice to him now. All I can, you've seen it. Grumpy Cat, Vivian, comes to Steve. By the way, is Steve going to listen to his daughter? Well, for two reasons. Number one, she's his daughter, and number two, she's Grumpy Cat. And all she has to do is, and Steve's a mess. That's the end of life. By the way, does anybody have to teach Grumpy Cat to talk to her dad? No, because from the day of birth, dad and mom have been talking to Vivian. It's what? Natural. Now, friend, I'm going to say a lot of other things about it, but we're going to do this first. Take your hymnal, 161, would you? Pastor Kwok, whatever closing song we do is going to be one of these. I'll let you choose. Turn your hymnal to 161. Everybody find 161 in your hymnal? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace, no doubt, we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and what? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. I love this. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. Page 433. Some of these have more interesting tunes. Some of them have more content. But they're songs that we sing. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus. I like that. Alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? Well, I've never been anxious at all, have you? I don't call it anxious. I call it worry. What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. And by the way, I'm less worried about the thought of dying than the people I love dying. For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus. Look at 437. Of course, I found a friend in Jesus isn't too bad. The next one, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of what? And bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Tim, I think we probably should sing that one. Everybody look at me. I want to say this to everyone. This is not a joke this morning. I'm going to be as calm as I can. Young men, I love every one of you too much. It pains me too much. I've seen too much stupid. Here's the thing I can't do. I can't save you. You can talk religion until you get on your own and then you live your own life. I get it. Religion is one thing. A relationship with Christ is the only thing that matters. And out of that flows the first great exercise. And that is the exercise of, it's natural prayer. Now, stop. In this room, there are women in this room. So I'm going to speak to the women that have bought into a lie. It doesn't come from God. It comes from hell. And here's the lie. You can have it all. How about let's translate it differently? You can do it all. No, you'll never have it all and do it all on earth. You can't have 12 children, a career, a happy husband, read the Bible 8 hours a day, pray 4 hours a day. Everybody feels stressed out. The solution isn't running. The solution is take it to the Lord in prayer. And the solution is for you to find those times and those places. I want to say this to every lady here. I don't want you to walk away from here feeling 1 ounce guilty. This isn't about guilt. This is about you and I finding the place and the time to spend time in prayer. Matters of the heart. Mothers are busy. They have children. They have the old man to look after. And it's difficult. I would recommend, especially when the kids are young, in the shower. That may or may not work. I found that Tiffany, the boys even want to interrupt her when she's in the shower. She has four boys, one big one and three little ones. I don't know which one's the worst. Well, I do, Nathan. How do you ever get freedom? Well, you say, I'm going to go because I'm going to do something that will get me to the place where I have freedom. That place doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. So you got to steal in your car, in the shower. I like at nighttime to go walking. Sometimes I talk to people on the phone. I talked to Chuck Ells for an hour the other night. Sometimes I just like to walk. Last night I just walked and thought about this text and thought about my life. I would recommend that you combine your time of your exercise. If you're doing physical exercise, if you have one of these gizmos that you're walking on, you could be praying some of that time. You could be listening to Scripture. All of that works. We're going to have to move on. That's the first exercise. Hey, look at me. You will not be in church. You will not follow Christ apart from that. That is Christianity. Christianity is not we get around to praying. Christianity is prayer. It's a relationship with God. Well, the second exercise is spiritual food, a relationship with God's Word. Turn your Bibles to chapter 19, please. Spiritual food is simply a relationship with God's Word. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We're not talking about prosperity gospel. We're talking about living the kind of life that pleases God. Promise in this life and in the one to come. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "But his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord." Friend, please look at me before we look at the text. To me, life is simple. Christianity has three disciplines. There are many other things you can take and split this off, but it has the discipline of our relationship with God, prayer. It has that relationship with God's Word, the Bible, spiritual food. This is a text to meditate on, starting in verse 10. Though you can start in verse 7, but we'll do verse 10 for time. And I'm going to give you some Hebrew today. Are you ready? You're going to love my Hebrew. The psalmist says about God's Word, more to be desired are they than what? Is that how you treat Scripture? I asked you a question. Does your money come before Scripture or Scripture before your money? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You say, have you ever had honeycomb? Yes. You know what the Hebrew word for honeycomb is? Look at me. Do you understand? I'm lying. Baklava. And some of you don't know what baklava is.
What's wrong with you?
You say, what is baklava? Come to my house, I'll give you a piece. Because the last time I was at Papa Marcos, my wife forced me to buy some. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Verse 54, thy statutes. I love this. Psalm 119. If you want to look there, Psalm 119, verse 54. Thy statutes, different words for God's word, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The Bible kind of assumes we're marching through this world, and this world isn't all good. What keeps us going? A relationship with God's word. Psalm 119, verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. My friend, what food is to the body, Scripture is to the soul. What food is to the body, Scripture is to the soul. If you are newly saved or recently saved, the center of your... Here's our problem. There are people that are in this church that haven't read the Bible in actual reading in their lifetime. Everything is checking off boxes because the conversation that comes out of your mouth is chatter. You get around somebody that starts to step up about the things of God and their conversation changes. Doesn't mean they can't wonder about who's going to win the final madness, what, March Madness tonight or tomorrow night. That's interesting, I guess. Doesn't mean they don't know anything, but the conversation of their life is dictated on that relationship with God, His Word. What food is to my body, and by the way, when you go home, you are going to eat. The Bible is to your soul. You've got to eat. Again, ladies, I speak to the ladies. Guys, men work hard. Many men in this room work hard. But frankly, normally women work harder. I didn't get any amens. Women work at work. Men work at work. They come home. And the wife has to work at home and the husband watches TV. Ladies, I speak to you. God bless your efforts. I don't want you to think about guilt. I want you to love the Word of God, to read it, to memorize it, to study it, to meditate on it, to read large portions. And I want you, hear me, I want you to do the best you can so you are spiritually fed. That's it. No guilt, no games. There's only three disciplines. My relationship with God, which is prayer, my relationship with His Word, and number three, my relationship. It's the third exercise with God's people. Now, the problem with the third one is if you've been in church your whole life, you equate what I'm going to say with sitting in a chair. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 3, verse 13, would you? Hebrews 3, verse 13. I'm going to quote and read. We're going to read the most quoted verse about church attendance, which is missing the entire point. Hebrews 3:13. By the way, when I say this, please hear me. When I say a relationship with God's people, young men, I speak to the young men, and I appreciate you guys helping. Here's the bottom line. From today on, if you're saved, and if you're not, you got to go back to that, because that's where it begins. Christianity is not difficult. It is a relationship with God, with His Word. Look at me in the eyes, young man, and with God's people. You say, does that mean coming to church? Maybe. But coming to church hasn't helped a whole bunch of people. Because the church is not a place that, I'm going to be funny. The church is not a place that the church goes. You already are the church. The question is, what are you doing? Hebrews 3:13. But exhort what? You see, when I think about the church, this is what I think about the church. I want to hang out with people who are doing what? People that have these spiritual exercises, who have a relationship with God, who have a relationship with His Word, and who have a relationship with other believers. So, look at me. When I hang around, he's not here, he's preaching this morning. You hang around from Dada for 5 minutes, he's not going to be chattering. He's going to be talking about the things of God, because his whole life from the center out, he's not perfect. He likes Cliff. He's not perfect. But from the center out of Dada's life is what? But exhort one another. Hang out with Dada and tell him you've been drinking. Hang out with Dada and tell him you've been into porn. Hang out with Dada and tell me about your sins. You see, when I say a relationship with God's people, guys, I am not talking about the persons that come to this church and by the time I'm done speaking, out the door. Because they think they have accomplished something by checking a box. Oh no, a relationship with God's people doesn't just end here. It's all the time. Yes, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Tom, I wasn't going to use your stuff, but it's good. Churches have missed generations. Why? Probably because there's fakeness in the parents. But children, young people don't get attached to God in prayer. They don't get attached to this book. And they don't have the very thing that Tom and some other people want to do with our young people, which is what? We want you to be around Christian men that don't talk about chatter. And by the way, ladies, young ladies, we want you to be around Christian women that don't talk about chatter. You need a relationship with God's people. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. This is the most quoted verse in the Bible on the subject of attending church. Here's the funny part. I don't really think this is about that. And I think you're missing the whole point. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but doing what? Doing what? Yeah, folks, church is this. Yes, we come together to worship. Yes, we come together to teach. Yes, we come together to all these things. But church is, we are the church, and we associate with the church. I know that Nicole has wanted this. Linda has wanted this for the young ladies. They've also wanted it for the young men. Tom has talked about it. We're trying to do things, and I'm going to let other people run this, where we can invest, because we want our younger people to stay away from the chattering fakes and actually be exposed to real Christians who talk about real things. Because there's only, hey, you want to get in shape? Aerobic? Strength training? Flexibility. You want to be a servant pleasing to God? Prayer, your relationship with God. The Word of God, your relationship with God's Word. Proper food. What food is to the body, Scripture is to thee. And what else? It's only one other thing. Your relationship to God's people. I'll say this and I'm done. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Friday night I talked to Chuck Ells for 58 minutes in one conversation. I hated myself, Cliff, at the end of the conversation, and Brian. I quoted Bowder three times. And I said, I'm sorry, Chuck, to bring up Bowder again. You say, do you hang out with Bowder? I see Bowder when he comes here on a Sunday, and usually in the summer for 2 days, Jenny and I try to get away with he and his wife someplace and see them 2 days. But what happens? We talk on the phone, and guess what happens when you talk to people? They encourage you. They exhort you. They challenge you. They sharpen you. My friend, there's only three things you need, three exercises. They are essential exercises. Your relationship to God in prayer. Your relationship to God's Word. What food is to the body? Scripture is to the soul. And your relationship to not chattering people, not seeing how fast you can get out of church, not hanging out with other people that will say what you want them to say. Find those people that will challenge you, exhort you, correct you, encourage you. So here we are. For bodily exercise has its profit for a little time, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Some things are bad and must not exercise us. Physical exercise is good for now. Spiritual exercise is good for now and for eternity. Father, thank you for your word. Blessed to our souls this morning. My prayer, my desire, my hope is that every person in this room moves beyond going through the motions. And it is my prayer that these young men and young ladies will recognize this is a church, on the whole, filled with people serious about following Christ. It's not hard, it's not difficult, it's not real deep, but it is something we do as a pattern of life over a lifetime. May it be so, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.